All things bright and beautiful, the Lord God made them all. God is a creating God. And we're in the second week of this message series I've called God's Co-workers. And in this series, we're looking at four ways that God invites us to join him in the work that he's doing in the world around us. The topics for this series are creating, innovating, preserving, and restoring. Last week, we talked about God's invitation to join him in creating. We are created in the image of a creating God, and God's creative genius is stamped into our spiritual DNA, and everyone has this longing or this hunger to make, to shape, to form, to create something. And last week, we talked about that creativity takes many forms, that some people create with music, either with instruments or their voice or writing down notes. Others create with materials like wood or clay, metal, paint, glass, cloth, yarn, food, frosting, chainsaws, and on, right? Some create with words. They create poetry, books, lyrics, sermons. We create moments, experiences, memories. God invites us to use all these creative abilities for his glory and his purposes. And as I was writing that creating message last week, I started to wonder about what are the things that you're creating in your homes. So I tossed out this idea of having an art show. People laughed. I didn't know if anybody would sign up. But about half of you checked the box on the back of your connection card that you would bring something for the art show. So we are going to do that on February 11th. Well, I'm calling it a creation show because somebody questioned whether it had to be art or not. But anything you've created, we'll set up some tables. If you've got a painting, you might want to bring an easel for it so we have a way to put those up. If it's too big to transport, take a picture of it, bring it. If you write poetry, you can print it out, put it in a frame, or print it out and put it, have it there for people to take home. If your creative talent is baking, you can make the refreshments, but feel free to bring your creations, whether you signed up last week or not, and we'll just see what God is doing through the people that he's created. All right, I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to make. Let's start this week with our memory verse. It's found in Ephesians 2:10. And it is Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And that's part of God's plan for us. This week's topic is innovation. And, you know, we are surrounded by innovations every day, much of which we take for granted. You know, the car that you got here in, the toaster that you fixed your toast with this morning, books, projectors, baseboard heaters, all these kinds of things. Even the pews that you're sitting on were at one time an innovation, right? So for hundreds of years in the church, people stood for worship, and then somebody said, how about we make some benches to sit down on? And so they had these hard benches, and then one day somebody said, what if we put some pads on these? So, you know, innovation, pew pads, what a great innovation, right? Innovation is a wonderful thing, but you can be pretty much sure that when that first person said, how about we sit down during worship, somebody said, we've never done it that way, okay? Hundreds and hundreds of years. Unfortunately, change that comes with innovating ideas aren't always warmly embraced. But our God is an innovating God. He created the world good and beautiful, but then sin entered the picture, and the Bible tells a story of nonstop innovation as God reaches out in new ways to transform and reclaim the world that he created and loved so much. And there's such a need for us to follow in God's innovating ways at this time in church history. I was at a district leadership meeting this past week, and we were planning the district conference coming up February 10th. If you haven't signed up yet, back of your connection card, I'd love to have a group to sit with. But he was talking about the number of churches that are closing this year. When I came to this district 10 years ago from the Kalamazoo district, there were 71 churches on the Albion district. He was saying that that's down to 54, and we're likely to have three churches close this year. And, you know, Forrest and I have been blessed to serve in two churches that are so willing to make changes to reach people for Jesus Christ. We've seen growth, and we know that right here in our church is the gifts that are needed to continue to do vital ministry and make a difference in the world. But we can't get comfortable with what God has used in the past, because it may not be what he wants to use in the future for fruitful ministry. We got to have eyes to see what new thing God wants to be doing, especially as we transition to a new pastor. And God gives us his Holy Spirit to inspire creative new approaches to challenges, both in our personal lives and in the church. And because it's so needed in the church, we're going to look this morning at five guidelines for innovation in the church. They're in your message notes if you want to pull those out of your bulletin. And the first is to keep a careful check on our motives, okay? You never want to innovate just to be innovative. You never want to innovate just to be like the church down the road that's doing something new, or to make a name for ourselves. Our motive should always be to glorify God, to fulfill his purposes for our church in our context. In the Old Testament, there's a well-known story of the Tower of Babel. Anybody heard it? A few of you? Yeah, okay. The people had discovered this new technology, right, called the brick. And with this new advanced building material came a plan for a new advanced society. And we read their plan in Genesis 11:4. It says, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth." And the focus was on making their name great, establishing their kingdom. And our motive should always be to glorify God and make his name great. Innovation should lead people towards Jesus Christ and knowing and loving him. It should point people to Jesus, not to a pastor, not to a church leader, not to some program. And that leads to the second guideline for innovating. We always want to stay faithful to our mission and to the gospel message. Next week, we're going to talk about the importance of preserving. And one of the things that the church is called to preserve is the truth of the gospel message. And innovation should never change the message or the truths that we find in Scripture, but the church needs to find new methods for communicating the message to each new generation. The message stays the same, but one of the reasons innovation is important is because if we don't find new ways to communicate it, eventually we'll have no one to listen to our message. And, you know, I love it when people come to me and they've got a new idea for a new ministry or a way to improve a ministry. But we have to have some filters in place to make sure that those ministries produce the kind of fruit and results that points people to Jesus. So I always ask three questions. How does this ministry idea help people, help us guide everyday people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That's our mission statement. Everybody got it memorized? Guide everyday people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Second question is, can you get a team of people who feel called to this? And then how does this ministry idea point people to Jesus and make his kingdom visible? That's why we're here. And the message never changes, but we can get better at living and sharing it. Then number three, think outside the box. Be willing to take risks, and don't be afraid to fail. Okay, so technically that's like, this sermon's really seven ways because that's three in one, but I was hoping no one noticed that. No, think outside the box, be willing to take risks, and don't be afraid to fail. And you know, three great enemies of innovation are the words, "We've never done it that way," that's not the way we do it, or we already tried that. And, you know, I was reading an article this week about WD-40. Does anybody have a little bit of that around your house someplace? Okay, do you know what the WD stands for? It's water displacement. They were inventing this to displace water so things wouldn't rust and freeze up, that kind of thing. Do you know what the 40 stands for? They failed 40 times before they got it right. Now, I don't want to fail at anything 40 times in the church. But we could at least try something once, right? New things once. And the definition of insanity that we've all heard is doing the same thing, expecting different results. The church needs people to think outside the box, be willing to take risks. Mega Sports Camp was something we started about 7 years ago, and it came about because somebody said, hey, what if we combine vacation Bible school with sports? Instead of teaching a craft, we teach them a sport, we talk to them about God, teach them about God and how to be a part of a team. And Mega Sports Camp has been one of the most effective ways that we've found here in this church to help people discover Baseline Church and a church family to do life with. Then three or four years ago, Heidi came up with the idea, why don't we do a parenting class during Mega Sports Camp? That's not part of the program, but it's very innovative, good thinking. And actually, we discovered that when we have a parenting class, we get to know those people in a little better way, and they're much more likely to connect to the church. And, you know, we didn't know that first year if anybody would sign up, but God has used that in wonderful ways. And we never need to fear failure. Sometimes when God lays an idea in our heart to do something new, you know, the first thought or temptation is, I can't do that. Well, the truth is, you can't. I can't, but God can. And so if it's a really big thing, we just trust God with it. It takes faith to innovate. Tell your neighbor, it takes faith to innovate. Innovate. Say it right. All right. Romans 8:28 says that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. God will take everything that we do. He'll work it together for good when we step out in faith and follow the ideas that he gives us. All right, then number four, be prepared for opposition. On my filing cabinet at home, I have a post-it note. It says, know the vision, don't fear the opposition, prayerfully discern the pace, and move forward. That's just been kind of my wisdom for myself as I've been pastoring. Don't fear the opposition. The word innovate comes from the word novate, which means to replace something old with something new. You know, Jesus was the greatest innovator of all time. He came to replace our old nature with a new nature. He came to replace the old covenant with a new covenant, an old way of being made right with God with a new way of being made right with God. And there were people in his day that weren't very happy about that, right? They liked things the way they were, and they decided that Jesus had to go. And anytime you propose a new idea or try something new, you risk disapproval and rejection. That happens. We all have this tendency to stick with what we know, right, and what has worked in the past, even if it's not working now. We all resist change at some level. Innovation and change can lead to some conflict. But here's the thing. I was reading a study this week that said that churches that grow rapidly tend to have more conflict than churches that are flatlined or, you know, status quo, nothing much happening there. Change makes people uncomfortable. But the churches with the highest rate of conflict, much higher than growing churches, are churches in decline. And change can bring about disagreements, but without change, the church will be in decline. And with decline comes conflict anyway, so why fear opposition, right? I'd much rather be in a church that's growing, that maybe has a little tension once in a while about that growth, than a church that's in decline and everybody's angry with one another. So embrace the change for the sake of those who aren't yet here. That's the fifth point. Don't be afraid of the opposition. Embrace change for the sake of those who aren't here. Change can be uncomfortable. And if we admit it, we all like things the way that they are, right? But God is always innovating and calling us to find new ways and new approaches to ministry, because he loves and cares about people who don't yet know him. And the Apostle Paul gives us a great example of how far we should be willing to go to reach people who are far away from God. He says, this is from 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23, he says, "Though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings." And Paul's talking about innovation here. He did whatever he needed to do to help people get connected to Christ. And, you know, not everyone here is going to start a new ministry or help transform a ministry, but every one of us can be innovative in finding ways to make God's love visible to others. Like Paul, if we find innovative ways to relate to people for the sake of the gospel, not only will we share in its blessings, people will come to know and love Jesus. After the offering's received, we're going to sing a song, "Shine, Jesus, Shine." It's an old song, it's 30 years old, but it was innovative in its day, and it sums up why we want to innovate, so that Jesus shines and the land is filled with the glory of the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this church is so open to new things, and have not just been open to the ideas, but have put those ideas into action and created new ministries. Thank you for the Tuesday night service and the people that the lives that have been touched through that, and the changed lives and baptisms that have come out of that. I thank you for this service and the ways that you've used it over the years, for the children's ministry and how willing they've been to transform the basement and make it a great place for children to receive and understand about the love of God. God, I just pray that you continue to bless this church as we look to you and have eyes open to the new things you want to do. I ask that you would just lead and guide us, that in everything that we do, it would be glorifying your Son, Jesus, and making him known. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.